Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Hello again. Welcome one and all to another edition of Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. This is Joy's very own motoring program and my name is Tim Nicholson, Joy's very own supermodel. That may or may not be true. Humongous thanks, of course, to the always dashing Pete Dillon for Cravings. He will be back at the same time next week, so make sure you're tuning in. And a big welcome to everyone. I hope you are well, wherever you are in the world. And a big welcome, of course, to my two wonderful co-hosts here. We have Mike Costello and Dan Gardner back for our second week back. Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
How's things, Tim, off?
Look, I'm all right, guys. I'm all right for a Saturday.
Yeah? What do you mean for a Saturday? Normally bad, are they?
Usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You like a Friday night, don't you? That's what it's all about.
Not really, guys. I mean, I do. Look, who doesn't like a Friday night, guys?
Totally. Best night of the week.
Absolutely.
You still got the whole weekend ahead of you.
Yeah, but then you get to Sunday and it's all downhill for
But we're not there yet, so let's not, you know.
Sunday is a depressing day, isn't it?
I find that often.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're starting with a bang.
To you two. I hope you're having a great weekend, everyone. We're not.
I know. Considering there's probably some much bigger news this week, then yes, we probably should just suck it up, shouldn't we? But look, there's a lot going on in the motoring world. There's a lot going on in the world full stop, but we're going to try and focus on motoring and cheer you up, hopefully, because it's been a bit of a crummy week, quite frankly. But there is heaps, guys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, lots going on out there in motor world.
I mean, we didn't even catch up on everything that happened last week after our 3 month break.
Well, realistically, it's going to take a while to clear the decks, isn't it? So I reckon we just sort of forget everything that happened in those 3 months and just start afresh. What do you reckon?
Look, nothing of any merit or note happened over those 3 months. I'm content to call it.
Yeah, I support
that.
Done.
I don't think it even happened.
No.
You know,
the world just stopped with bated breath and said, we're not going to do anything motoring until Fender Bender comes out.
Totally. The world on hold. Comes to halt.
Yeah. It does. But it continues now with this week, guys. We're going to get straight into it. We're looking at the local news right now. And we've seen yet another teaser, or two teasers, I think, this week, maybe, of the darn new Falcon. Updated Falcon.
Don't call it the darn Falcon.
She's a dirty one, this Falcon. Just teasing the audiences, slowly revealing herself bit by bit.
What a task.
I know, it's outrageous. yes, I know. Well, Dan, I think you've got some choice thoughts on this whole teaser campaign notion that carmakers seem to indulge in.
You're absolutely right, and it's no secret that I hate teaser shots of anything. I'm only interested when we get a full reveal. That's pretty much my life in a nutshell. And this one has gone even... So it seems to be a bit of a trend with motoring manufacturers now where they will do a series of teasers now. It's not just one, then the reveal.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's at it. And this is just a complete nth degree. So we had a tail light, and then we had a headlight, and then we had a bit more of something else.
Oh, no, we just had a badge.
Yeah, just a badge. And how long is it going to go on? I mean, look, I know they are obviously, Ford, the good people, you know, they're obviously making the most of their last major launch, you know, because...
Well.
And perhaps that's what it is. Perhaps they know it's a swan song, and they are just getting their mileage out of it. But it's very frustrating to cover it.
That said, one of the commenters on our website had a classic call when the XR8 badge came out. Mm. Style of it is the X kind of carries over into the R, and he goes, look, they managed to save the use of a single line on the R, which saves them about 3 cents in plastic per badge. You can really see where the cost cutting's coming from.
It's true.
I lost it at that moment.
And look, even I mean, this is nothing new. We know that they're bringing back the XR8, so it's kind of like, well, what's the point of teasing the badge? Maybe tease the spoiler, tease something that we can actually see. We know that's coming back. So
I find the launch of the Falcon very interesting, though, because I cannot think of a time when a company has launched a car and it's known full well that in 2 years that car will cease to be. You know, normally at a launch of a new model, it's all blue skies and this thing's going to do this and it's our big savior car. And this car, they're saying, well, we're going to be gone in 2 years. This car is basically a dead car walking.
But yeah, I mean, what's the alternative? Could they have? Could they have said, "Nope, sorry, you know, we said we were going to do a Final Falcon." Well, or it would have been a Final Falcon then. They said, they'd already agreed to it. It was in the pipeline. And what would have happened if they said, "Sorry, we're leaving in 2 years, sir"? Nope.
Well, they took a bunch of government money to put it together.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of obliged.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's basically what it is.
So they've got to push it, and they're doing that. And they've also, this week, something leaked, apart from me.
Hello.
God, which what was a horrible image.
I know, Tim. Right? Look, we've now seen the facelifted Territory, which is the SUV, obviously based on the Falcon, that kind of was outed this week. But you wouldn't have known it was the facelifted Territory, really, would you? You'd have to, you know, really look
sometimes
at that
the best facelifts are the subtle ones, Tim.
Well, true.
You know?
True.
Maybe not for cars, though.
No.
No, it doesn't look any different, does it?
It really doesn't.
It already looks dated. Now it looks even more so.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Look, I don't mind it when you see one on the road with the current facelift that's out there now. I kind of go, you know what? I still think that's a handsome car.
Yeah.
But this hasn't really added a lot to it. It's like I think they've put a kind of a fake grill under the actual grill and maybe tweaked the headlights a little bit, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Soft touch.
Yeah, very soft. So, I mean, look, but all of the money they're putting into the Falcon, so that's going to look a lot different. So we'll be waiting probably another couple of months before we see the Falcon, I would suggest.
Oh, God. Which, I mean, two teasers a week for 2 months.
I'm going to shut it down. I tell you what. Get to a point that's not too much teasing. I want the real thing.
Yes.
Oh, God,
dear.
Disgusting.
Story of my life.
Now, I've got some absolutely devastating news for you guys today.
And now I know whenever you use that tone of voice, you're being completely sarcastic.
Well, how dare you assume to know me so well. Absolute beast. Look, do we all know the Nissan Almera? It is the small or light sedan based on the Micra.
I know the Nissan Almera, and I don't care to.
No, exactly.
No, I don't want to know it. I wish I never got to know it.
Yeah.
Frankly, our relationship is strained.
Well, you will be very happy about this then, Mike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's gone.
Axed.
Good. She's dead.
Good.
Dead in the water. Nissan Australia kind of have finally decided to go, what's wrong with our lineup? What's not working? And let's maybe do something about it.
Nissan Australia has a new boss, Richard Emery, who is a... He was an inspired choice. They got this guy from Mercedes-Benz, and they've put him in charge, and he's walked in, and Nissan's had these unrealistic expectations for years, where they've parachuted guys in from often America to come in and say, we are going to sell more cars than Mazda, and they're currently selling half as many cars as Mazda. Yeah. And this guy's walked in and basically said, that's not going to happen.
No.
Let's just consolidate with what we know and start getting rid of these little side models and let's revise our targets. All the things that should have been happening. And this is just one example of that, which is a car that was a lame duck of a car.
It was.
And rental companies bought it. That was about it. And now it's gone. So hooray.
It is one of the dowdiest looking things on the road as well. It's, I don't think
it looks like a pork pie hat on wheels.
It actually really does, doesn't it? But I was talking about this with somebody during the week. It is really hard to get those light sedans, the design of that right, because the wheels are so small, but the bodies are quite high. So it just, proportionally, they often look quite ridiculous. I think, to be honest, the Honda City probably does the best job of it. But no one's sad to see the end of the Almera, I would suggest. But a part of this whole restructure and, you know, Richard Emery coming in and making changes, they're looking at this. Now, while we were off air for 3 months, Nissan showed what is going to be their European market Pulsar, which is nothing like the current, well, the Australian market Pulsar, which is a Thai-sourced vehicle. So we've now seen the European version of it. It's like a Golf rival. They're claiming it's a Golf rival. And apparently, they're going to look at it for the Australian market.
Ooh.
Do its doors thunk like a Golf when you close them?
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be compared, you know. Well, they've done so well with the Qashqai overseas, so it kind of makes sense that they have a hatch version of this. You know, will we see it in Australia? We're not sure yet, but it would be a very smart move for them. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Not really fast.
I'm still thinking about the Almera. I'm really.
Are you just depressed?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think car companies are increasingly getting cars from Europe. Kia do now. Honda does. Nissan does.
Yep.
And European cars are made to a higher standard than Thai-made cars. They just are. Car companies will say they're not, but they just are. And Europeans have tastes that are very similar to Australians, much more aligned. So the more cars that we get here that are European-oriented, not to be a snob, doesn't matter what badge is on the front, but if they're made in Europe, chances are they're probably more dynamic, better tuned, better made.
Potentially.
There's not much to not like, as long as it's not too expensive.
Yeah, so we will watch this space to see what Nissan does and also to see what else they get rid of.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Hacking out the dead wood of Nissan. It's going to be great.
It'd be nice to say goodbye to the Altima, but that's not going to happen. Anyway, Moving right along from Nissan to Mercedes, guys, we got a look at the C-Class this week, the new C-Class.
You were there.
Mike and I were both there. We got to touch it. We got to be inside of it. And we got to find out the pricing.
I even made a short video with it. Look, it's straights ahead in terms of its cabin design of anything else. BMW and 3 Series will be quaking in its boots because this thing is an S-Class that's been shrunken down about 20%.
Yeah.
It is incredible in its design. A lot of my friends have driven it in Europe and rave about it. I haven't yet. I'll have to wait for my first drive soon to find out. But this is, Mercedes-Benz is on such a roll at the moment with just about everything it does. And this is looking to be the best of the lot.
It's pretty impressive. Kicking off, I think, what is it, $60,900, which is a tiny, I think it's like $1,000 more than the last model, but it adds something insane, like $8,000.
I'd pay an extra grand just for the way that thing looks.
Oh, look, it's just a striking little thing. And what you said about the cabin, I totally agree with Mike. I got in there and I went, this is just one of the most beautiful interiors I've ever seen.
It's sort of, they've come at an opportune time because BMW 3 Series is getting on a bit. The Audi A4 is ancient. The Infiniti Q50 is non-competitive. The Lexus IS is a bit meh. It's, in terms of its design, I'm not sure about its drive yet, but in terms of its design, it is so far ahead anything else that it was already the second or third biggest selling medium car in the country behind the Camry.
Yeah.
I mean, Mercedes sold more C-Classes than Nissan Altimas or Holden Malibus, quite often more than the Mondeo and Mazda 6. Mm. So it's a mainstream
car. It's incredible, isn't it? Australia, we're absolute Mercophiles, aren't we?
And this thing is just going to take it to the next level.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
I love it.
Yep.
I actually saw it a day before the official launch.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
I did.
They've had one sitting out there, I think, haven't they?
I actually, purely by chance, I turned up to a party and one of the party goers, a friend of mine, had it. And so I actually saw it the day before.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so difficult to not take pictures of it and put them all over the internet. But I didn't.
You were a good boy. You're a good boy. Well, we're all good boys here, and we hope you stick with us. If you've got any questions or you just want to say hello and send your love, please text in 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. Very shortly, we are going to be discussing car names after Dan had a rant last week about car names. We're going to continue with that.
Please do.
A little bit shortly, so make sure you stick around.
Joy 94.9. Australia's best radio station.
It's a big claim, but it's true.
Australia's is a bold call,
it
isn't
it? It's a bold call. Good on them, though.
I happen to agree, though, so...
Well, of course. Well, there's one reason. No, Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
The best motoring show on Joy 94.9.
It is the best motoring show on Joy 94.9. You're with Tim, Mike and Dan here for Fender Bender, which is all about automotive goodness. Now, boys, a couple of other things that have happened this week. The new smart cars have been revealed. You know these little smart cars? They are for smart asses. I'm going to say it.
They're for people who aren't very good at parking.
Correct.
That's quite a good thing about the smart car.
And they are for not many people in Australia because no one buys them.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Is it?
No.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing.
No. The new one might be.
It's a noble cause. It's You're brave. Thank you very much, Tim. You know, it does a lot of things very well, and you know, it sort of set out to achieve a good. A good thing, and do you think it's just a shame people didn't embrace it? People buy bloody Priuses, for God's sake. Why don't they buy a smart?
I think it's Prii.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Look, I think they lost me when they named the brand Smart. Could you be more smug?
You could be Skoda and call your car Superb.
That's
Smart, look, it has a place in Europe with tight roads. I think Australians, Volkswagen can't even sell an up here, which is a lot bigger than a Smart. So Smart always has work cut out. New one was revealed during the week. It's much better in every way by the looks of things. But it's not clear yet whether they'll bother bringing it to Australia or not. Mercedes is a bit ambivalent about whether they will or won't. I think they're kind of on the fence at the moment. Although I would say the fact that it's even being spoke, the fact that Mercedes haven't come out and categorically said, we will do this car, kind of tells me that they're not going to.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. But if there are smart aficionados in Australia, keep an eye on things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this new one, you may not be able to get your hands on so easily.
Well, the shame is, sorry, to cut you, Tim. Okay, so the tiny little compact one with the only two seats and the engine in the back, that I can understand why people didn't really embrace. But the 4.4... That's a four-seater, four-door hatchback. I can see, and that would have come, if it's going to come, it will come with the Smart 4.2. And that, I think, is will do two things. One, it will sell better because it's a bit bigger and people will embrace it more. But also, you get that halo effect of it representing the two-seater version, and people go, oh yeah, 4-2, 4-4, it's all the same thing, and it would probably help sales a little one as well. So it'd be a shame if it didn't come here.
I used to like the Smart Roadster. That was cool.
That is a great little
that
thing.
Looked terrific, actually, didn't it? Yeah.
There's one version of that, sorry, it's completely off topic. Well, it's not, but we're digressing slightly. Brabus made a very special edition of that.
Really?
Yeah, they did. They got two of the 600cc three cylinders and joined them at the block and made a 1200cc V6.
Yeah.
And put it in the back still, and it was fantastic.
Well, who doesn't love a V6?
I think they
the
made
back.
Five or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. That'd be cool. That would be very fun. But look, keep an eye out. And if you're a smart owner and if you love your little smart, let us know. 0427JOY949. The both of you out there that own them, we would love to hear from you.
Didn't we give one away for Radiothon?
We did. We did. And that's why they are very good cars.
They are good cars.
We're moving right along now to the Mazda 2, which has been revealed this week as well.
Yes, excellent. Now, this is a long time coming, isn't it? We've seen teasers, sketches and teasers and one after the other. God.
We have, but now it's out and about. It is out there.
What I love about this car is, where was it? I think it was Geneva this year. I did an event with Mazda and went and had a look at a concept version of the 2 and got to speak to the guy who designed the concept, and they kept saying, look, we promise the road one will look just like the concept. And we've heard that before. Lexus do it all the time. Yeah. And the car emerges and it never looks a thing like the concept car. Mazda swore black and blue this thing would, and lo and behold, it does.
Yeah.
Now, you can never make a concept car completely road perfect. There's always little tweaks you've got to make. The wheels have to shrink a bit. The mirrors have to get more realistic. But 99% of this car is the concept, and it looks awesome.
It does
look
good.
It's a cool looking thing. Personally, I think they should have stuck with the 23-inch rims that were on the...
imagine a ride on
concept.
Yeah. It'd been awesome.
Yeah, crazy.
But I think Mazda seem to get it. And a lot of brands don't, which is that in that end of town, in that kind of market, number one for people is the way a car looks. It looks cute. People want it. People love the current two. They'll love the new one. And there are so many small cars out there that look a bit dowdy, and I don't understand why the hell car makers don't follow Mazda's lead.
Mazda embarked on that Kodo design direction, they were on to an absolute winner. It was a design that could be applied to virtually every size car in their range, including, hopefully, the forthcoming X5. And everyone loved it, and it was one of those that, as Mike says, it translates so nicely from concept form. It goes on every size car. They're on to a winner, and they've got to stick with that for years and years and years. It's a magic thing.
Well, they seem to kind of, I mean, what do they change every like 10 years design direction, maybe a little bit less than that, car companies
of, sort of,
I guess it depends, doesn't it? It varies on who it is, but look, they'll sell a million of those things, and good on them, I say. Some other global news this week. Now, Strange Bedfellows is a movie, which I did not see because it looks terrible. But it is also what I'm describing the potential union of the Volkswagen Group people and the Fiat Chrysler Group. Now,
was Strange Bedfellows that Paul Hogan movie?
It was.
That was killing me. I just had to know. Okay, gotcha.
Where they pretended to be gay to get some kind of benefit under Centrelink.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Don't know.
Is this what you're up to, Tim?
That's it.
Yeah, fake
up. I'll just try to snare it, guys. Look, how bizarre is this, though? There's rumours that the Volkswagen Group want to eat up the Fiat Chrysler Group. What?
Hello.
I won't be a party to this.
They are just taking over.
Well, don't you think it's
world domination? Heard that before.
Fiat have got this whole, like, they've just done this entire massive mega event a couple of months ago where they, you know, Fiat, Chrysler, Jeep, the whole works. They're on the up and up. Mm. They've come out of some dark times and they're doing amazing things. It seems like an odd idea that Volkswagen, like, they're in a position to even join at the hip. It seems unusual. Although it is the way things are going in the automotive world. Nissan and Mercedes and Renault are getting into bed together to a large degree, and there's a heap of others. You know, Toyota and Subaru are in bed together. BMW and Toyota are in bed together. It's kind of what's happening.
Everyone's sleeping around. Is that what you're saying?
It's awesome, isn't it? It's great. Years ago, people started predicting that, you know, in so many years, there would only be one car maker.
One
parent company that owns them all. And actually, it's looking that way. But we know that won't happen. What actually might happen, though, is there's two. You know, we end up with just two. They've absorbed every other maker, and they just fight it out. And it's just, the two
Volkswagen will eat everything European, and There might be like three. There might be, you know, Toyota will eat everything from the Asian region,
yes,
including Hyundai, and then Volkswagen will eat up everything in Europe, and maybe Ford or GM or America.
And you know what, though? I reckon China would stick with its own. I reckon probably. There'd be one Chinese one.
Yeah, but, and it would be terrible.
Yeah.
It'd be the Great Wall and the Geely and all those. Mm.
And no one would care because they'd sell millions in China and wouldn't come to anywhere else in the world, and, yeah, and you wouldn't know what was going on.
True. That's true. Yeah, so controversial, but look, it's all rumours at the moment, so we don't know what's going to happen.
VW want this, if it's true. They want it because they've got slipping sales in the US at the moment, and Fiat Chrysler are doing really, really well. So if they got on board with them, then it would probably boost their sales. Quite what VW would be doing for Fiat, we don't really know.
Right.
So I can't see it going ahead because they'd be like, well, what's in it for us?
Volkswagen have been desperate to buy Alfa Romeo for a long time as well, because it's a company that, you know, they've got Audi, I suppose, and Bentley and Porsche right up the top end, but they don't have anything really sexy in the kind of mid-level range.
Yep.
And they've wanted it for years, and I suppose that plus wanting to get some of Chrysler and Jeep's action in America, they think, well, we'll just take the rest on as well. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. What fair get out of it? I'm not sure. Money, I guess.
It's true. Yeah.
It's probably all Volkswagen can offer.
What else? But look, there are some other rumours circulating about the Volkswagen Group possibly changing their name, guys.
Yeah.
What's all this about?
Could happen.
Controversial.
So years ago, there was a company called Auto Union, which was formed when four smaller makers joined together and created one company. One of those companies was Audi. That, incidentally, is where the four rings of the Audi badge come from, is these four companies that joined together and created Auto Union. Mm. After the war, a few years after the war, the brand sort of dissolved, but VW kept the rights to the name, and they still have that brand, and it looks like there's a good chance they're going to resurrect the Auto Union name to as its parent main name, and that will disassociate the VW name from the cars. So you'll have Auto Union, which looks after all of its many, it's actually got 10 brands underneath it, and VW will just be the cars. So it's a very similar thing that Daimler did, whereas it used to be Mercedes-Benz, and it was a bit confusing because there were Mercedes cars, but it was also owned by Mercedes. They went, no, Daimler owns everything, and then we've got Mercedes, Freightliner, Smart, and everything underneath it.
It was a really good story that you managed to get on that, and I think it would make a whole lot of sense, because you're right. So you think now, well, Volkswagen is sort of the mid-level brand of the group, and Volkswagen owns Bentley and Porsche, and it kind of does, to an extent, tarnish and cheapen as much as they try and distance it. So if they can, even just from a marketing perspective, try and siphon that off, it would make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. Mm. And then the brand Auto Union, if people know it at all, actually has really good racing heritage. So it's actually quite a high-quality brand that they could bring back. They did a lot of racing back in the 30s under that name, and it was really successful back then. So, it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to wait and see if it goes ahead.
Yeah, we will watch this sparce, as they say. In Italy.
As you say.
True.
Very nice.
Yeah. Now, one thing, just to cap off the international news, boys, there, I don't know if it's officially confirmed, but one of the some European Lexus executive has confirmed that the beautiful LFLC sports car, which came to Australia, I think, for the last motor show, maybe 2 years ago, the Sydney show, stunning looking sports car. I think it's like a hybrid supercar, or not a supercar, but a sports car. Apparently, it's going to production. But.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little bit of all. I did that,
you know, like that excited thing, you know.
That's what Lexus is hoping for. They're hoping to get that sexy reaction back.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, they're moving in the right direction.
Nothing shouts sex up here like a Lexus in the driveway.
No, especially a CT200H.
Yeah. Oh, stop! You were so prejudiced towards that car, I don't mind it.
No, but the thing is, it doesn't matter how good a car looks, it's all about the image.
Mm.
That's why, you know, Mercedes and BMW have all made, at times in their lifespans, bad cars. People bought them because of the image, and Lexus might look great, but it's a Lexus. It's kind of hard to change that.
It'll take a while. I reckon they'll get there, but it'll take a while.
BMW did it with Skoda.
That's true.
True.
Can be done.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Listen, guys, you are listening to Defender Bender on Joy 94.9. We have got a whole lot more coming up very shortly. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim, Mike and Dan are with you for the next, I don't know, let's say 27 minutes and 43 seconds.
That's very specific. Well, anyone would think you had a clock on the wall that you're referring to.
We have the Joy clock, which is very famous.
Yeah, it got its own Facebook page and everything.
It does. It does as well. Now, Dan Gardner, last week towards the end of the show, you got a little bit antsy, didn't you?
I did, which is not really uncommon.
Yeah, no, it's not.
You know, being the stereotypical whinging pom, I always have something to complain about.
Yes.
And last week, it was car names. Not just any car names. Stupid car names.
Oh, well, hello. Guess what? I've done some research, my friend, and there are so many more stupid names. There.
I know.
Yes. But I have a question for you both.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm going to test your knowledge here. What do you think is the longest running nameplate of any car? And listeners, please text in 0427JOY949 if you know the answer to this.
So we're going to answer this at the end of the show, are we?
No, probably in a couple of minutes. So
better get in fast, listeners.
Exactly. Well, yeah, do have a think about it. We'll come back to it. And there are
the
quite
longest lasting model name.
Yep.
Okay.
I've got my top 10 list, and you will be surprised.
I know one of the top running.
Yeah, yep. I'm going to
hold off for a few minutes, okay. Right? So we don't spoil.
Yeah, okay. I've got some ideas. Yeah.
Have you? Is that because you're looking at my screen right now?
Oh, no. Is that a clue? Is it? Hang on. What have we got there? Okay. No, don't know.
That's all right. But there are some surprises in there. I'm not going to lie to you.
Cool. But, I'm excited about this.
Oh, good. I hope so.
Yeah.
Is that why? No, I was going to say really quite rude then, wasn't I? Listen, but the other thing is, there are some shocking names. We've seen them. There are some still on the roads today.
Isuzu Bighorn.
The Bighorn is a good name, Mike Costello, and I support it 100%.
Does it have a big horn on the bonnet?
I hope so.
Like an emblem?
What about
some kind of accoutrement?
That was a Jackaroo, wasn't it? I think that was what we got as the Jackaroo. Uh-huh.
Jackaroo. What about the Nissan Figaro?
Hello.
Hey.
What about the Nissan Figaro?
That's a silly name, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
We had a text, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. What did they say?
They said
Nissan Figaro is rad. Now, if you don't know what the Figaro is, it's a car. It's actually not that. It's like last 20 years or something?
It's 1989, but it looks like it's from the 60s. It's a tiny, diminutive little retro sort of coupe roadster.
Yeah. And they come in pastel colours.
Absolute stunner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who likes pastel colours would like it.
Yes.
I suggest.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get off topic, but we get right back to it. So there are some absolutely shocking names, and I'd like to know what you guys think. And also, again, please text in if you've seen a car out there and go, why the hell would you call it that? I think the highlight or low light for me, guys, is the Ford Probe.
Yeah, what were they thinking? Seriously. But we were talking about this earlier in the week, and we were like, What did they think? Seriously, what were they thinking? I'll just repeat the same statement again. What were they thinking? What association has a probe got to do with
space?
Surely not.
Space probe.
Yeah.
That would be it, wouldn't it?
Or like a probing question.
Yeah, but that's
possibly.
You don't really want your car to be a probing question, do you?
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. I thought the space thing was the only connection, because otherwise the only thing is fingers. They're not the same as fingers. But we have, it is just insane. The Ford are guilty of a number of shocking ones. There's another one, guys, which I've written down here, Hummer. Which I believe has another meaning.
Yeah, totally. Mm. But isn't this, these are all good examples of how, just because they're out there, people don't even think about it. It's just a car name. People go, it's a car name. It's called a Hummer.
Yeah, like, there's one that you've written here, Tim, Ford Escort.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, I know. It's pretty catchy, and it was a very successful car. And they still, in fact, there's one going to go on sale in China soon. Yeah. It was developed in Australia, so there is a local connection to that car. But Escort. Was in the 60s when that car came out, was the word Escort used for that? Or was that only a later thing?
That's a good point, actually. But it's kind of that thing as when you're growing up, like, we just know these car names and we grew up, you don't think about the meaning of them. It's like when you watch something like Grease, the movie Grease now, it's actually really raunchy. When I was a kid, I was dancing around to that thing doing moves. It's like, that is...
I can just imagine, Tim. Why does that not surprise me in any way at all?
I was Sandy. but, it's those kind of things where my niece was singing a Kesha song recently. She was 8 at the time and dancing around to that. And you just don't realize. And then the lyrics are like, your love is my drug and stuff. Yeah. Like, oh, no, Alice, stop
it. Brush my teeth with Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
What
kind of thing. So you just don't realize it. This is a good one that I picked up on. The Daihatsu Charade. Like, that's a ridiculous name for a car. It's a charade. It's not really a car.
My first car was a Daihatsu Charade. I won't hear a bad word about it.
Really?
They're a good little thing.
A poo brown 3-cylinder... A 3-cylinder 1-litre with a 4-speed manual.
Mate, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
You get to 90 and it starts to shake violently.
They were a good little thing, though, weren't they?
Lose
for
your
what
feelings.
They were.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Tons of fun, they are.
But the name, charade, like
there's
that's
another
Daihatsu
with a better name, though, isn't there?
There is, and it is also, you said Pooh Brown before, Mike. Uh-huh. This does tie in quite nicely. There is a small SUV, it would have been a little off-roader in maybe the 80s or the 90s, called the the Daihatsu Scat.
Are you for real?
I am for real, Williams.
That's how real I am. Oh, yeah.
Can you believe it? The Daihatsu Scat. And the picture that I found is brown.
That is very unfortunate.
I think a lot of the time is when a car maker, and this is why a lot of car makers use numbers now, because when you use a word, you know, there's so many languages out there, it's bound to be offensive in one. The Mitsubishi Pajero is a good example.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that, what is it? Prostitute?
I think it means to pleasure oneself in Spanish.
Yeah, something like that.
It's something dodgy. I need to look it up. I've obviously researched this really well.
No.
But I know that Pajero is offensive, so they had to call it the Shogun in Europe.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like,
I've said it before, but Saxo is another one. Citroen Saxo, which sells in the UK or used to, in Japanese means let's shit. That's actually what it means.
Why is there a phrase for that anyway?
I know.
Let's is a, it's not a communal experience.
Well, it's just Japan. Well, you know, they're very friendly people.
I mean, if you want to make it a communal experience, no judgment. But
you get an onsen, you take off your clothes, you have a bath together. Why shouldn't you, you know, have a poo together? I don't know.
Well, that also happened with Lexus in Latin America. They released a limited edition version of one of their vehicles that, in European Spanish, the word caliente means hot, but in
Lovely.
Latin American Spanish, it means hooker. So didn't really, really well do very well for them. There are a couple of others I've found here, though, guys. I can't get over the Scat. Well, I really can.
Do you know, when I studied, actually, I studied automotive engineering at the Somerset College of Arts and Technology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and people used to actually openly refer to it as Scat.
Scat.
Yeah.
So you studied at
Scat.
You were in Scat.
Yes.
How long were you in Scat for?
Does it matter? Long enough?
Yeah.
Long enough.
Exactly. You loved Scat, didn't you?
I did. I was well into Scat. I would visit Scat many times in one week.
Great experiences at Scat. Yeah.
Are we going to get taken off air?
I think there's another one here.
On.
There's one that's probably a little inappropriate, which is the Mitsubishi Starion.
Yes.
Which has a very kind of story has it that it was named in Japan because it's a Japanese company and they wanted to call it the Stallion and a pronunciation issue crept in and it just kind of went from there and it was printed and sorted and by the time the error was realised, it was the Starion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I believe
which is
just
true. Every stereotype in one, which
I know,
is kind
it's
of
terrible,
bad,
isn't
but
it?
it's
also
kind
quite
of funny.
Funny. I know.
But actually, not a bad name, really.
Yeah,
it's a silly way it came about, but Starion, it sounds, I don't know, it's emotive. It's
not the worst.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Cordia?
I do.
Yeah.
They were
a good thing.
Cordia?
Yeah. I know, it's like, put an L on the end of it, guys. You've got a sweet car there.
Hello.
But yes, Mike, sorry.
Children would be gathering around it.
Yeah. But there is another one that really, I think it might take the cake. This is an old car. I don't know what year it's from, but it's a Studebaker, and it was called the Dictator.
Hello.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Yeah.
That is such a badass name, the Studebaker.
I drive a Dictator. Studebaker.
Dictator. It's pretty full on. People are going to get the hell out of your way, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh, dear.
Look out, there's a Dictator coming up my rear. Oh, no.
That's it. We're off the air. We're done.
Tim,
we're done
I here. Meant in your rearview mirror.
We're done here.
Oh, dear. No, we really are. Today, I'm really winning.
Oh, now we've lost him.
Now I'm checking. Look, I can't think of others, but I'm sure there are many, 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 many offensively named vehicles out there.
Of course, yeah. And if you know of any, let us know. 0427JOY949 is the text, or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
Daryl thinks that maybe Ford was thinking about alien probes, like the one that Cartman had in South Park. Love the reference. Maybe.
I think that might be a good point.
Maybe.
It might be a good point.
Things people would pay good money for.
Well, exactly. But are we going to see, like, is this, you know, as we know, a lot of car makers are moving towards a number system or whatever, or alphanumeric kind of things for their car names. I mean, it's a lot safer, isn't it?
It is.
But then
there's a Toyota 666, which is an epic fail.
No, really?
There's not.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, can you imagine?
I guess numbers you could technically mess that up too, but it's probably harder
to
do.
Yeah. But then it's getting all samey. Tesla this week announced their next car is going to be called the 3. Where have I heard that before?
Oh, dear. Yeah.
I don't know. Mazda 3, BMW 3. What's the other one? Chorus have got a 3. Come on, guys. This has got to stop. Yeah? There are other numbers.
So on the one hand, we've got people being too inventive, and on the other hand,
do you know the reason why Tesla wanted, and Elon Musk, who is the founder of Tesla and PayPal and SpaceX, and he's what Tony Stark's model off. He's a modern day Marvel. Tesla's his company. They have a Model S, big sedan.
Yep.
They have a Model X, which is an SUV.
Oh,
he
right.
freely admits as to why he wanted the Model E.
Because it's an E, yeah.
He
yeah.
wanted the range to spell sex.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh.
this isn't me putting two and two together. He's come on record and said that's why I wanted to call it the E.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
And so there was a headline during the week running on a website called Jalopnik saying Ford killed sex. Because it was Ford who sued Tesla to not use the E name, Model E.
Ah.
Hang on, why?
Because Ford wanted to do something with the Model E.
Oh, they had Tesla rights to it, yep.
So Tesla had to go with 3 instead.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
So it still looks like it.
Yeah, so it does still look, yeah, hmm. yeah. Okay, there you go. So that's some bogan number plate, isn't it, out there? Surely.
Kind of.
Surely. Now, we're going to have a very short break, but when we get back, I'm going to reveal to you something that you never wanted to see.
I like this. You've got a few nice surprises for us in the show this week. I quite like it.
My pants are down right now.
Cool. No. Well, they are every week, aren't they? That's the advantage of being on the radio.
That's beautiful.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the longest-lasting nameplates.
We are, and I cannot wait. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Stick around. You're listening to... what is it? Fender Bender.
You're listening to Fender Bender on
Joy 94.9. I had to think about that
for
a second.
What we
like,
are. Oh.
What are we? That's what we are. You are with Tim, Mike, and Dan, and we are hanging out with you for another 15 minutes. So grab a latte. Yeah. Sit back down and listen to us.
I like it when you do your soothing voice.
You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Actually, I sound like I'm just
That's
sick
just creepy.
There.
Yeah, it was yeah, soothing before, yeah. now creepy.
Now, guys, I've just realised that the list that I'm looking at is possibly a little bit old. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So I had said before the break, what are the oldest nameplates in the world? And this might not be as updated as we thought, but can we think about what might be the number one one?
Number one.
Mike and Dan. What
number
is
11.
The longest nameplate
I had
in the
an
world.
Inkling. As yeah. in, you mean the longest?
So yeah.
Longest running or the longest?
Yes.
Longest actually measuring start to finish, number of
no,
letters.
No, no, no. The longest running. So it's
right.
Been
I feel like we should have got rules
time.
Clear before.
Okay.
We,
okay.
You know, I've
okay.
been researching how many letters you can fit yeah. into a car name. No, I haven't really.
Oh, my God.
You'd look no, at me no, as no. and say, my God, Dan, you are way more stupid than I thought
yeah,
you
Yeah, hugely.
I had this inkling that it could be the Ford Falcon.
Well,
it's been around a long time.
It has been around a very long time. It is not.
Damn.
I think it might be the Morgan.
No.
All right.
That's all. Moving on. No. Well, according to this this list, it is the Chevrolet Suburban, which started in 1935.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
And it hasn't got any more modern since then.
It is their gigantic SUV. They tried it here in Australia for a few years back in the, what is it, late 90s maybe, early noughties as a Holden for like...
It's vast,
yeah.
is it?
I've driven some in America, and they're deeply unpleasant.
Oh,
deeply unpleasant.
They look absolutely foul. So the big Chevy Suburban. Second, Ford F-Series.
Oh, that's not so surprising. Yeah,
no.
yeah.
No, no.
Old as the hills.
Old as
and
the hills.
And the same size as well.
A little bit. Other names in the list, we have the Chevrolet Corvette.
Oh, yes.
No real surprises there. Mercedes-Benz. SL.
Did you just silence your mic to have a little bit of a burp for that?
No, Dan. Toyota Land Cruiser, Porsche 911.
Yeah, oh, of course. Hang on. Yeah. Porsche 911, that's not that old by comparison, is it?
63.
Did you know
no,
that?
Ford Falcon came out.
I was going to say, we are missing one here.
So this
we?
Because Ford Falcon is such it's a very niche brand. It's an Aussie-only car. I'm guessing that they didn't know it existed.
I would suggest this that this is an American... website.
Oh, come on, Americans.
I know.
It's not like the Americans not to know what goes on outside of America.
But we also have the Ford Mustang, Jaguar XJ, excuse me, and Toyota Corolla in there as well. Oh, and sorry, the Mitsubishi Galant.
Well, how long's that been going?
1969.
Wow.
Who knew?
See, what I don't get is if you're getting into the whole model naming thing early, you get the pick of the coolest names, right? Like now, when there's millions of models, you got to choose from a small list.
Yeah.
But back then, you could choose whatever you wanted, and yet they chose names like Galant.
Oh,
why?
I know, it's weird, isn't
it? Sky was the limit, Mitsubishi. What are you doing?
It doesn't exist anymore in America. They ditched it. It's what the 380 was here. And
it was still the 380.
Well, yeah.
That was old in 2000. They were still selling it,
was. It
as the same car.
Oh, poor old Mitsubishi. But that is it. That is what is happening, guys. Look, moving right along from names to a British name, Dan Gardner.
No.
And an even more British name, Jaguar.
I'm, as most people know, I'm actually Australian now.
Oh, you are too, officially.
And I just put in my application for my passport so I can actually prove it.
Yeah.
But no, okay, you are, of course, referring to Jaguar, another old name plate there.
Yeah.
Going years and years and years.
Yeah.
Earlier, actually last year, they launched a car in Australia called the F-Type, or F-Type, as I've heard called.
Terrific.
And it arrived, first of all, somewhat unusually, in convertible form first.
Yeah, that is odd, isn't it?
I asked them about that, and they said it was because they wanted it to be known and associated as a roadster more than a coupe. And it was always designed and intended to be a roadster. Hmm. But they told us at the time of launch that there would be a coupe coming as well. And do you know what? It arrived last week.
Ooh.
And you know something else? It got even more powerful when it came back as a coupe as well.
Did it?
And the third and final piece of information I will tell you is I drove it last week as well.
With your hands?
And my feet.
Yes.
And yeah, everything.
It's dire. This is a very attractive looking thing, just
well, that's
straight
the first
off the
thing.
Bat.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, personally, I prefer the look of the convertible.
You do like a top down, and I'm not saying that to be dirty. You
take
really
that any
do.
Way you like. It's all true.
You are a convertible whore.
I really do love a convertible, and I really like the way the F-Type looks as a convertible. But I understand that this is Australia, and sports car buyers favour a coupe over a cabriolet in this country. And so Jag are predicting that the F-Type coupe will do even better than the F-Type cabriolet. And also, because, as I said before, it has come back and the most powerful version is more powerful than the most powerful version of the cabriolet.
Ah.
So there's three in each range. You get just the coupe and the cabriolet. They have the same supercharged V6.
Yep.
Then in the middle you have the S, coupe S and cabriolet S, which has a bit more power from the same engine. Then at the top of the cabriolet range you have the V8 S, which is a supercharged V8. But when it came back as the coupe, they called it the R.
R. Why did they do that?
Because it has 404 kilowatts, which is quite a lot.
I see.
From a 5-litre supercharged V8. And I can say that if you think it sounds fast by the numbers, then I can confirm it is very fast.
Yeah, you touched the little accelerator a little bit,
very
didn't you?
Very fast. But it's fast in a way that is it feels quick everywhere. You know, you've got and people talk about, you know, big V8s and things having torque, which is low down power, and you talk about sort of smaller capacity engines having the high end power. This thing, the power sits smack in the middle. It's got so much mid range. It's there whenever you need it. That supercharger is wonderful. It's bigger on the coupe on the R rather than the S. And it just is relentlessly quick everywhere. And strangely enough, I was sharing with another journo, and when you're in the passenger seat, for some reason, the acceleration, maybe because you're not ready for it, seems even more savage. And that is the only way I can describe the acceleration of it, is savage. Because, though, it's been the chassis has been fettled a little bit, and it's a very light... Do you like the word fettle?
I love it.
It's been redesigned. The gearbox has been tweaked to take the extra power. And it is wholly usable. But it just doesn't seem to ever stop. It's absolutely sensational. Just over 200 grand for it. Which is an absolute bargain.
The top spec one?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's actually 219. But with the version I drove had the carbon ceramic brake upgrade kit. Would you like to have a little guess at how much a carbon ceramic brake upgrade kit adds?
About 30 grand.
Oh, well, you'll be pleased to hear it's an absolute bargain. It was $20,000 it will bang on top. So the one I was driving was $250,000. Those brakes, sensational. But the best bit is you get yellow calipers.
Well, I guess if you're paying that much money for a car, it doesn't really matter if you just... We'll just throw on another 20 grand for yellow brakes.
Well, I did
carbon ceramic brakes.
Yeah.
I asked.
I said, surely people aren't going to pay
an
extra 20
track
grand.
Days, be great.
Well, Jaguar confident a lot of people will go for the brake kit. And yes, surprisingly, people do pay the money.
Really?
I think I love the F-Type. I've spent lots of time in the F-Type convertible, and it's ridiculous and pointless for one reason, because it has no boot.
Right, you're absolutely wrong, Mike. Absolutely wrong.
No, but this is the thing. The convertible, I'm not wrong because it has no boot, but does the coupe have a bigger boot?
Right, two things. This is a common misconception about the car. It does have a bigger boot, the coupe. It goes out to 400 litres, which is quite usable.
Yeah, that's good.
But in the convertible, people have slated it for, since it's been out, for not having a boot. What people don't understand is that that space saver wheel in there was included as a result of customer demand. People wanted it in there on previous models, and they couldn't have it if it wasn't fitted from the factory. So what Jaguar said is, we're going to give you the F-Type, but underneath that spare wheel, if you take it out and leave it in your garage, is an inflation kit, the little pump which squirts some goo in the tyre and then pumps it up for you. And also underneath that spare wheel is an extra space as well. It's not just flat underneath. So if you take the wheel out, you don't get stranded. You've got a way bigger boot. In the cabriolet, it's 200 litre boot when you take that wheel out and the little cubby underneath.
I know, but it still means that you've either got to choose between having a spare wheel or storage space, which is kind of pointless.
But people wrongly said that if you take the spare wheel out, you'll be stranded. But that's not true. People just didn't look underneath.
They've just got to use the goo.
So I don't think it was really fair, all that criticism. It's actually got a bigger boot, quite a usable boot. You can get a couple of weekend bags in there if you take the wheel out.
But that's just what you get, though, with, you know, I mean, design, it's kind of, it's that's the way it's designed. Maybe there's you just have to accept some of the compromises. But, I mean, you know, if I was buying a car that I wanted to take away on weekends, that probably wouldn't be it.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's still by no stretch of the imagination a practical car.
No.
But, you know, this hard top on it does give a little bit more of an all-weather sort of spin to it, as well as having a bigger boot. So it's getting there towards a... Yeah. You'd not own an F-Type as your only car.
But you are giving it your thumb up.
Which is the ultimate compliment. I think it's fabulous. I've always liked it since it launched. I love the look of it. Yeah. I think it's quite carefully priced. It goes fabulously in all versions. You know, I mean, still the V6S is the middle of the range, but it still does 0 to 100 in under 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a fearsomely quick car in whichever version you buy. I love it.
I think purely from an aesthetic point of view, it is one of the best looking things on the road as
Agreed.
Well. So I want to touch its bottom quite a bit, quite frankly. And on that note, boys and girls and bald headed babies, it is time to shut it down. Fender Bender is over for another week. But fear not, because coming up just around the corner, of course, is Critical Hit with Luke Mitchell, who will be on very, very shortly, followed by Hannah with Little Fish. So there is a lot of entertainment coming up on Joy 94.9. For the rest of the afternoon. Mike Costello, Dan Gardner, thank you boys both very much for being here.
Lovely to be here, Tim. Thank you for being sat in that all-important chair as well.
Oh, look, I love this chair. It's cushy. It's cushy. that's pretty much it, guys. If you want to stay in touch, facebook.com/ Fender Bender Joy, or Twitter is the same handle as well. My name's Tim Nicholson, signing off for another edition of Fender Bender. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.